and to chapter 23, the Gospel by Luke and chapter 23. Matthew, Mark, and then Luke, and chapter 23. And I want to just read a few verses with you about the two men that were crucified at the same time as the Lord Jesus. Two men that were crucified at the same time as the Lord Jesus. I want to think with you. We'll read together from verse 32. Luke chapter 23 and verse 32, and it says this: "And there were also two other malefactors," or robbers, criminals, thieves, "led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place, which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand, and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, 'Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.' And they parted his raiment and cast lots." Verse 39. "And one of the malefactors, which were hanged, railed on him," or blasphemed him, "'If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us.' But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, 'Dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation," or in the same judgment? "And we indeed justly," or "we are here rightly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss.' And he said unto Jesus, 'Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom.' And Jesus said unto him, 'Verily, I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise.'" Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And then finally, verse 46. "And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, 'Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit.' And having said thus, he gave up the ghost." And we trust God will bless the reading of his word today. I want you to think with me today about these three men that died on crosses on this day outside Jerusalem. You're very welcome amongst us, and we're glad for everybody that's joined us today. But what we want to do tonight is to focus upon a scene that is the most significant scene that this world has ever seen. Spoke slightly differently, but you know, the most impactful moment in human history is the moment when mankind decided to slay the Son of God upon a cross. But as they took the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Bible says, as we read it together, that when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, that's the location, there they crucified him. That's what they did. But as they did that to him, in the proceedings of the day, there were two men that were also crucified on that day. There was one man on the left-hand side of the Lord Jesus, and there was another man, and he was on the right-hand side of the Lord Jesus. Now, I don't know on which side which man was, and neither do you. But the fact of the matter is this: one man had his eternal destination changed forever. In fact, that man, he was, as he ended the day, as he breathed his last, there was one man who was as close to hell as he would ever be, because he had the promise of the Lord Jesus himself that said, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." And so that man, as he breathed his last, he was as close to hell as he would ever be. And that the man on the other side, he was as close to heaven as he would ever be, because as he breathed his last, he would be like the man that we read about in Luke chapter that we would read about in Luke chapter 16, and you can go and read about him when you get home. But he opens his eyes in hell, being in torment. And that man was as close to heaven as he would ever be. He would never again have the opportunity. He would never again have the ability to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Saviour, though he was exactly the same as he started that day as the friend on the other side. Just so close, just equidistant from the Lord Jesus. On the other side, here's a man, and they're all within earshot. They're having a conversation between the three of them on the cross. And yet this man, when he gives up the ghost and dies, he's in heaven. He's in paradise. Do you know what that tells me? Something very, very simple, friend. Very, very simple, but very, very solemn. You can be very, very close to the Saviour. You can be very close to salvation. You can hear the Word of God. You can know other people that are saved. You can even witness other people coming to know Christ, and you yourself can miss it. Can I just impress that upon you tonight? If you're in your sins and you don't have Christ as your Saviour, it is very possible, and we read that just from a very surface reading, that it is very possible for you tonight to come very close, but to be just as far away as if you'd never heard it at all. You could come very, very close. You might even know people that are saved. You might even want to be saved. You might even think, well, friend, you can come this close, but unless you've got the Saviour, you're not safe until you're saved. You're not safe until you're saved. And here's a man, and he came very, very close. But I don't really want to focus on that man. Very, very solemn man. Very sad situation, that man. I really want to focus on the man who got life, because that's our great desire for you tonight. The Bible tells us very, very clearly that he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. The Bible doesn't make it very complex. I do love the Word of God. It's very, very clear. It's very plain. It would need to be for a simple chap like myself, you know, to understand some of these things. I can understand that if you have the Son, you have life. And that's our desire for you tonight. If you don't have life, if you don't have the Son, well, it's very possible for you, like the man that we read, to trust him and to have that promise from Christ himself, that if life were to end for you today, you would be with him in paradise, which is far better. I want to think about this man that got the Lord Jesus and got salvation and ended his day in paradise. I want to think about of him hanging upon the cross. Then I want to think about him hoping on the word of Christ. And then I want to think about him as home in paradise. So we're going to think about him hanging, hoping, and home. And that's the very real possibility for you today. You see, that man, as he woke up, there was a day in his experience. And as he woke up that morning, that was the day in his experience, on the calendar of his life, that his life would be removed from him and taken from him by force. He had no say in the matter, you see. When he woke up, well, I suppose you could say that if he had been a little wiser and behaved a little differently, perhaps it was that he perhaps would have acted a little bit differently. But you know, the fact of the matter is this. The best thing happened for that man. Because though he had lived a life as a complete rebel, he found himself being crucified, executed, next to the very Son of God. Any circumstance that comes across your life that brings you to this point of salvation in the person of Christ, you thank God for that circumstance. You thank God for that. Maybe it's a diagnosis you'd rather not have had. Maybe it's a relationship failure that just brings you unending sorrow. Maybe it's the loss of a loved one. Maybe it's a financial crisis. Maybe it is any number of things. And it makes you think, it focuses your mind to think that there's got to be more than this. And if life were to come to an end, well, maybe God is just bringing you to a point. To a point. To focus and sharpen your mind on the point that if life were to come to an end for you, if it was today, where would your soul be in eternity? I want you to think about that tonight. Because this man, he woke up that day. And this was the day he would never see the sunset. Or he maybe saw it rise. Maybe it was that it shafted its light into the dungeon cell. I don't know whether he was loose in the cell or whether he was manacled to the wall or in the stocks or what it was. But that morning, as he saw the sun rise and the morning glow of the eastern rays would beam into that dungeon cell where he was, he would never see that sun go down. Somebody sent me a message a couple of days ago, and it was a quote about going around the calendar. And there's days on the calendar that are important. The other day it was my birthday, and a couple of months before that it was my anniversary. Those are important dates for me. I do best not to, you know, if I forget my birthday, that's not so bad, but I better not forget the anniversary. You see, there are dates that are important to remember, and you have dates like that. You might have a birthday, you might have birthdays of your children, or you might have days when significant things happen to you. But this person, as they sent me a message, it was a quote saying that every year we go round, we go past the date, and we don't know when that date is. And that's the day of our death. The day of our death. I don't know when that will be for me, and you don't know when that will be for you. You don't know when that will be. It's a date that hangs over us. It hovers over us. One day, it might be the 21st of June. It might be the 3rd of February. It might be the 26th of November. You don't know what day that is. But just like that man as he hung upon the cross, he would never see the sunset. He would never see another day. That was his time. That was his lifespan. He had a birthday and he had a death day, and that was his span of experience in this world. And one day, friend, you go past that day year on year, is what this quote was saying from this person who messaged me. And I thought, what a solemn thing that is, to have a date like that looming and hanging over us, and yet none of us know when it is. You know, this was forced home to me very forcibly recently. I was away on the island of Guernsey just a couple of weeks ago, maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago. I had a phone call from my wife. And she picked up the phone and she said, "Jason's dead." Jason was my neighbour. Jason was the man that helped me with the fridge up the stairs. Jason was the man that I would ask if I needed to borrow a spanner because, you know, I didn't have the right size, or he had lost his hammer, or, you know, we would have conversations. And here's Jason, always, you know, he, "All right, mate, how are you doing?" after a day at work in the van. And anyway, Jason took his motorbike, and on the A429 at 10 to 5, that was his time. That was his date. I went to his funeral just Tuesday gone. There's a verse in the Bible and it says this. It says that we sorrow not as others that have no hope. But can I tell you, as I looked into the faces of people that were there at Jason's funeral, my neighbour, I came to see that verse in a different light, because I think that verse is a double-edged sword. Here's all these other people, and they're just thinking about the good times when they had times with Jason. All of these times when perhaps they were out on motorbikes too. Or all of these times when they spent Christmases with Jason, and they would tell funny stories about his life. And all of these lovely, wonderful things. And here's this man all in his regalia and his robes. And I tell you, he had less clue about this book than my little girl has. He had absolutely no idea about salvation. He had no idea about eternity. And here's a man standing in all his pomp and all his robes. And I'm looking into the faces of these people, and I am thinking to myself, I'm far more sorrowful than they are, because I don't know where Jason is. What are you, friend? You see, he had a date hanging over him. Just like this fella here that died upon the cross next to the Lord Jesus had a date that hung over him. You too, you have a date that hangs over you. Maybe it's a road traffic collision that will take you from this life Or maybe it's a long many years from now, maybe decades. I was at a funeral last year, and it was my great aunt, and she was in her 99th year. When I was a child, one of my first funerals that I went to was my great uncle Bob. He lived to 103 years old, a ripe old age. But you know, there came a time when life came to its end. You see, in this world, people like to do away with the idea of death, and I don't want to be overly morbid tonight, but I do want to impress upon you the reality of eternity. If you've never thought about it tonight, if you don't understand, friend, that there's a day when you will leave life, let that just rest upon you for a minute. Let that just sink into your very soul. Let that just grip you. And if you have not got the Saviour tonight, let me tell you, as you sit in your seat, it could be that you're as close to heaven as you'll ever be. Would to God that you'd be like this man. Because this man listened to the Lord Jesus. Do you know what made the difference between these two men? You see, as they started the day, as they came out of that dungeon, they were men just the same. One was a malefactor and the other was a malefactor. Here they were. I don't know whether they were comrades in their crime. Perhaps they were, perhaps they weren't. But either way, they were both criminals. They both got caught up. In fact, the Bible tells us that once they're all three of these men are pinned to these crosses, the malefactors both start casting the same in their teeth. They start verbally abusing the Lord Jesus. Here's the man, Jesus Christ. He's had the flesh stripped from his back. He's had a crown of thorns pushed upon his head. He's been beaten across the head with a reed that they used to mock him, and a purple robe. And then they rip the purple robe off of those fresh wounds, and they send him outside the city of Jerusalem, bearing his own cross. And he's so weakened by the experience physically of the beating, the flogging, the scourging that he endured, that they have to compel a passerby to help him carry the load of that cross up the hill. And here's these men. And it's their reaction to the man on the center tree that makes all the difference. I think that as we tell people the gospel, that this man is a great friend in evangelism. This man that trusted the Lord Jesus is a great friend in evangelism. I'll tell you why. You see, this man, he heard the word of God and he trusted it, but he had no time to get baptized. He's the only man in the scriptures that I read of, you can correct me if I'm wrong afterwards, but I don't think there's anybody else who doesn't get baptized after salvation. But I'm very glad for this man's inclusion in the scriptures, because it tells me very clearly that baptism isn't a necessity to be with Christ in heaven. However, people that are saved should get baptized. And if you don't have nails through your hands and your feet and you're a saved person, you too should be baptized. But baptism wasn't going to save this man. And good works, well, that could never save this man, because he was never going to come down off that cross with life in his body. He was hanging upon a cross. Do you know what made the difference? Faith in the word of God. The Roman epistle tells me this, that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. As he listened to the Lord Jesus, and just as I was sitting in the car earlier, just waiting, I was reading one of the other gospel writers about this experience. And here's a man, and he's casting the same in his teeth. And then he observes the Lord Jesus say, "Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. Father, forgive them, they know not what they do." And I think it must have been that caused this man to start thinking, "What kind of man is this? What kind of man is this?" And then he listens to the man, and he listens to those seven sayings from the cross of the Lord Jesus. Because I don't know what you think about the cross, but I tell you this, it was a very laborious exercise to even draw in breath. In fact, that is what ultimately would take a man's life. It is as the nails that pierced a man through his hands and through his feet, every breath that these men wanted to take, they would have to pull down on nail-pierced hands and push down on nail-pierced feet, and slide backs that were devoid of flesh and skin, up a rough wooden cross to take every single breath. So there wasn't extended conversations going on here. They're sliding up the cross and holding themselves while they say a few words, and then they're slumping down under the weight of their own body. But he sees the man, Christ Jesus, and he sees his compassion. Knowing the agony himself from his own experience, knowing the agony of what it was to even draw breath, let alone to speak, he watches and listens to this man as he pulls down and pushes down and slides a raw back up a wooden cross because he sees the heartbreak of his mother at the crowd. And he says to one of his disciples, "Behold your mother, mother, behold your son," and dismisses them away from the cross. And from that hour, that disciple took Mary away from the cross. And he thinks to himself, here's a man in agony. All I'm thinking about is myself. Here's a man and he's thinking about others. Here's a man and he's forgiving others. Here's a man and he's calling upon God and he's saying, "My God, why have you forsaken me?" He's not just thinking about himself. And he thinks to himself this, what kind of man is this? Can I tell you this? There's no man like my Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. There's nobody like him. You will not find a man like him. And that's why he is a perfect, wonderful Saviour for sinners. Because there's nobody like him. He stands completely unique amongst the sons of men. This man, he starts to realize. He realizes something very important. I hope you've realized it tonight. He realizes this. Perhaps for the first time in his life, I'm here because I deserve to be here. He says as much to his friend on the other side of the cross. He says, "We're here because we're receiving the due reward of our deeds. We deserve to be here. Justice has caught up with us." But do you know what else he realized? Something key, something fundamental, something important for you to grasp. Not only that you're a sinner, friend. If God judges you on the basis of your sins, God will do you no wrong, friend. If he casts you into hell, it's what we deserve. God does nobody any wrong by giving them the sentence of judgment for eternity away from him. If you don't want God and you don't want his son and you don't want the provision of salvation that he offers and gives to you freely tonight as a gift if you'll take it. If you don't want that, God will do you no wrong if you find yourself in hell. Here's this man and he realizes, I deserve the judgment of God. And then he realizes something else. The man on the middle cross, he's under the judgment of God too. But he doesn't deserve it. He doesn't deserve it. And you know what he says to the Saviour, the Son of God? He says, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." This death for you, I've realised, is not the end. In fact, I know that you are going on and you're going on to a kingdom. You're going on to a place beyond the grave. Would you just remember me when you come into your kingdom? And he heard the word of God. Do you know what he heard? Good for you to hear the word of God. If you've got a Bible, you're a privileged person. There are many, many people and many, many places in this world where to read this book openly would cause you to fall into great trouble. But here you are in the United Kingdom, this blessed land, because you can read this book freely. Do you know what it was he heard? He heard the word of Christ, the word of God. Today, you'll be with me in paradise. Today, you'll be with me in paradise. Do you know what that man did? As he heard the word of God, that word of God was mingled with faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so he had heard the word of God. And he trusts what the Lord Jesus Christ has said. And he hears the promise of God. And he takes it for his very own promise. That very day. And not only was he hanging on the cross, but he was hoping on the word of God. Do you know, I think that that must have gone round in that man's mind. Because not very long after, and we read about it there in verse 46. You see, here it was. Just at the end of verse 43, verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise, the promise of God. And by the time you get to verse 46, Jesus cried with a loud voice. He gave up the ghost. And here's this man upon a cross. And do you know who's left alive? Just the man on the other side. Too late for him now. But you know what this man had as he hung upon the cross? He had hope in the word of Christ. That's all you and I have got if we're believers. If we're looking forward, is hope in the word of Christ. But it's not a hope like we use the word hope in this world. Sometimes we say, I hope I have a nice holiday, or I hope it, maybe we say we hope it's sunny tomorrow, or maybe more recently we hope it rains tomorrow. We say maybe it will, maybe it won't. We hope. No, the hope of the scripture is something that's solid. Why? Why is it solid? Because it's based on the word of a God who cannot lie. And so here's this man, and the Lord Jesus Christ breathes out his last and commends his spirit to God. And here's this man. And do you know all he's got left? Is faith in the word of God. Today, you'll be with me in paradise. Today you'll be with me in paradise. He knows sure, he knows full well that he'll not come off that cross alive. And he watches with horror as the Lord Jesus Christ has died, and then they start to talk, and maybe he's starting to listen to these men at the foot of the cross. And these men, these religious elite men, these hard, calloused men, that's what religion does to people, you know. Religion will never save you, it will just make you hard and calloused. But you see these hard, religious, calloused men, they start to talk between themselves, and they say, you know, we ought to be getting these men off crosses tomorrow. There's a holy day coming. We better not have these men dying and lingering on. You see, crucifixion was never a quick thing. It could take many days, perhaps, for a man to expire in agony upon a cross. That's why it was one of the most horrendous deaths for anybody to endure. But you see this man, he hears these people, perhaps. And then he watches as the soldiers scurry off and the command is given, break their legs. And he knows that with broken legs, it will be impossible for him. He might be able to pull down, but he'll not be able to push down on the nails that keep him pinned to the cross. He knows full well that not now in a few hours or in a few days he'll be dying on this cross, but now it's imminent. It's imminent. Death is right here. It's just a few minutes away. And he listens as the shins of his friend get snapped and shattered by the iron club. You see, all that man's got to look forward to is the judgment of God. All the agony that he experienced in life and in time was nothing in comparison to what he would face. But here's a man, and he sees them as they come to shatter his shins, to hasten his death and his exit from time. Do you know what I think he had going around in his mind? The promise of the word of Christ. Today you'll be with me in paradise. Today you'll be with me in paradise. One leg smashed. Today you'll be with me in paradise. Two legs smashed. Today you'll be with me in paradise. And as he's on that cross and he's struggling to breathe, and as he feels life ebb away, he's got something solid. He's got something firm. He's got something secure. And he knows that he's got absolute confidence, because Christ himself, the man that cannot lie, had promised him, today you will be with me in paradise. And he goes out. And the worst that he had experienced in time was past. And as sure is, as he opened his eyes, there's the Lord Jesus. He's watched him die just a few moments earlier, maybe a few hours. Here's this man. And he realizes that God is good for his word. God's made a promise. Jesus Christ, the very Son of God, made a promise upon that cross. And this man proves it to be true. What about you, friend? You see, this man went from hanging with no hope to hanging with hope, hope in the word of Christ. When life came to an end for him, he went home. He went home. What's home for you? Home's a place of comfort, isn't it? Home's a place of rest. You know, when the working day is done and all you want to do is just, you just want to sit down and you just want to be at home. That's where this man went. Went home. A place of comfort. A place of rest. All the tears. All the agony. All the difficulty. All the trial. All the loss. All the tragedy. All the sorrow. Everything that was bad and negative is all past that man now. And finally he's in the presence of the Lord Jesus and he's home. Do you know, I'm glad, friend, that when life comes to an end for me, I'm going home. I'm going home. And you know that man that died on the side of the Lord Jesus? He didn't deserve it one little bit, and neither do I. Friend, if you're sitting in the seat tonight, you don't deserve it either. You don't deserve it. So let me tell you something. Let me just let you into a little secret. Let me let you into a little secret. A lot of people get this wrong. They think that the salvation that God offers, well, maybe the Lord Jesus Christ needed to die, but they need to add their little bit to it to make God accept them, to make God just want them, to make God just welcome them in. You see, this man, he proves that theory completely wrong. He had nails through his hands. He could do no more work. He had nails through his feet. He could go nowhere else. And here he is. All he has is the word of God and faith in his heart. God is good for his word. What about you, friend? If you're relying on anything else other than faith in the word of God, it will let you down. You see the man on the other side? He had confidence in himself. If you really are the Christ, if you are who you say you are, you know, do you know all that man really was interested in is situational salvation? Maybe you've called out to God. You're in a bad spot. Whatever that spot might be. See, this man, all he wanted to do was get off that cross. Lord, save me. Thank you very much. That's all he wanted. Maybe it is that you just want salvation. Maybe it's the financial crisis or the health crisis or the career or something. There's some problem that's come into your world. Don't be like this man who just wanted salvation from the situation. Be like the man who realized that it's pointing. God is using that circumstance to focus, to sharpen the mind, to just focus and hone in on the fact that what he really has is not a situational problem, it's a spiritual problem. And you know, that man took God at his word. He had a promise from Christ. And he went from hanging to hoping. Oh, it's good to hope. Good to have something that when life comes to an end, it's only the believer that can look death in the eye and not be terrified. He went from hoping. He went home. What are you, friend? What are you as you sit in your seat tonight? Are you one of those that's close to salvation? You want salvation. Coming here won't get you salvation. You know that. We're glad to see you. The believers here are thrilled every time you come through the door. But just merely coming here won't save you. And merely hearing the word of God won't save you. You know why this man was saved? Because the other man on the other side heard just the same thing. He didn't realize that he was a sinner. This man did. He didn't realize that the Lord Jesus Christ was sinless, but this man did. And he didn't realize that God was good for his word, but this man did. And that was the difference, the reaction to the man on the centre cross. So what about you tonight, friend? Because the Bible tells us you either have life or you don't. You're not straddling some imaginary line, you're not sitting on some imaginary fence. Either you're in or you're out. Either you're saved or you're lost. Either you're heaven bound or you're hell bound, friend. You're either forgiven or you're damned and condemned. Friend, you're either one or you're the other. You cannot be both simultaneously. And so, friend, we want to urge you tonight to think and be like this man who heard the word of God, who believed it, and he went home. May God bless his word. Shall we pray? Father, we come to thee in the worthy name of the Lord.